Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are. It's a Wednesday on the 94 WIP afternoon show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how we feeling?
Well, Brother Spike, a few days away from an opportunity to get to the NFC Championship.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about that. Fritzy, baby daddy, how you doing in there, brother?
Doing great.
Holla at your boy.
I know people are excited. 72 days till opening day.
Oh, God.
God.
Yeah.
Way to bring down the show.
No, that would never do that. We're a couple days away from reaching Ike's favorite round.
Well, yes. Yeah,
NFC Championship game. Listen,
yeah, what are we? No, what are we? You saying the NFC Championship game?
I thought you
meant golf and Clearwater.
Yeah. I thought you meant the divisional round. I think the Eagles are 6-0
in divisional round.
In divisional round games, or 6-1, something like that.
Because last year they lost in the wild card round.
Yep. 21, they lost in the wild card round.
Yeah. Usually, when they get to this round, they don't lose.
That's right. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they played in so many NFC Championship games.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
It's a huge show, guys.
Yes.
Huge show. I know it's not a big Flyers time, but it's always a big Flyers and 50 time for the official afternoon show, or the official show of the Philadelphia Flyers. So we'll have Broads with 3 for Flyers and 50. Shady at 3:30.
About that. Cut on a dime.
Yes. LeSean McCoy going to join us at 3:30. Brian Baldinger will join us at 4. New Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings with somebody back into the rankings that hasn't been in months. That's at 4:30. And then the top 5 at 5. But we start with our Philadelphia Eagles, who play for a chance to go to the NFC Championship game on Sunday. And I woke up this morning to a really good article from Tim McManus on ESPN.com about Nick Sirianni. And the headline was something to the effect of the things in public that make everybody question Nick Sirianni, those things do not exist in the locker room. They love Nick Sirianni. And I just want to give, if you didn't read it, it's really, really good. I want to give a couple of little nuggets from it. So first, it was talking about Jordan Mailata, when Jordan Mailata's father was going through a health issue. And Nick called Jordan into his office. Jordan thought he was in trouble. And then he got in there, and Nick Sirianni just asked him how his dad was doing. And it said, Sirianni served as a confidant to Mailata during that period, having sit-downs with him and creating a safe space for Mailata to, quote, to talk and get his feelings out. Mm-hmm. Jordan said he was very supportive, said if I needed to miss time, I could miss time. That meant the world to me. I love that guy. I'll do anything for Nick, to be honest. Then Rick Lovato said about Nick Sirianni, it's incredible to have a coach like him who cares about each individual on this team like that. He's a special coach. Every team I've been on that's been to the Super Bowl or deep into the playoffs, we've been the tightest of groups, and that's how I feel about this team this year. Then Isaiah Rodgers. You know, he missed his first year here because of the gambling thing, suspended for the entire 2023 season. And Coach Sirianni left him a note, like sort of a long inspirational note about his journey. And Isaiah Rodgers said, the notes aren't just generated, it's something that you find motivational. It's real personal, like you know that he wrote it from the heart. And Isaiah Rodgers packs the note in his travel bag and reads it before every game, the note that Nick Sirianni left for Isaiah Rodgers. He left another one for N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean said, I don't know any NFL coaches doing that. When it comes to being for your players and having the utmost confidence and respect for your players, I think Nick Sirianni is second to none. And you know what happened for me a couple months ago? That I'm a Nick Sirianni guy. And for all of his warts, for the things that we worry about, the in-game decision-making and the yelling at fans and maybe saying something in a press conference that he shouldn't and maybe being a hothead, all of those things, for all those things, he has the number one most important thing. He has emotional intelligence, and he can get the players to play for him. He can get the players to realize what they've done wrong, what they need to do to come together, to grow together, and to show up ready to play. He is a really, really good coach, and I'm a Nick guy. And I think what we all need to, and this is what we're going to ask, because we know you're a Nick guy,
yep.
is if you were on the fence, even if you were anti, are you ready to declare yourself now after hearing things like this, seeing the turnaround from this team from last year to this year, are you ready to declare yourself a Nick guy? You are.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah, and this stuff is
yeah,
part
I mean,
of the
listen,
reason, right?
These are things that I would hear, not necessarily about the personal letters and all that stuff, but when you hear players sort of come in to support Nick, this is stuff that I heard about last year. This is stuff that when rumors were swirling about him and whether or not he should be the coach, that you make a few phone calls, you text a few people, or people hear the show and hear what's being discussed, that players want to make sure they put in their vote of confidence for the guy. So I am not surprised that his players feel this way about him. And unlike some fans, and I'm not necessarily condemning fans for it. You know, winning cures all. So when you win, it's a lot easier to tolerate certain things that you didn't tolerate from a player or a coach prior to. But the players don't waver like that. The players were in support of him in the tough times as well. They came to his defense, and nobody wanted to hear it. Oh, they're just saying that. What else are they going to say? They're on the team. It was leaders that supported him. I say this to say that while some people may have a change of heart, and we welcome that. We welcome those that have had a change of heart and can appreciate what Nick Sirianni has done as a coach during his tenure here. I've always said, to me, it's been more than just the X's and O's, right? Play designing, like being this sort of genius of a head coach that enamors everyone. There's a connection there that he has with his players, that he has the ability to sort of get them to buy in. And it doesn't always end in winning. But for the most part, you're going to have a culture that usually sticks together. Now, there's always the chance you have a bad apple or two in the culture. And that's when you got to remove them. Andy's one of the greatest player coaches ever. I don't know how many players that would line up for Andy. Doesn't mean Andy didn't sometimes have some bad apples in the culture. Right? Like, but you have to know how to deal with that.
Well, and the other thing I'd say about being a player's coach, because I think people assume that if you're a player's coach, it just means that the coach lets you get away with whatever you want.
That couldn't be the further thing from the truth.
Andy Reid was a player's coach. Andy Reid held you guys accountable.
Man,
it was tough.
First 5 years, he didn't smile.
Yeah.
You didn't know if Andy was happy when we won or not. Like, seriously, like that was Coach Reid, but he wanted to change the culture. So while he could be a player's coach, he was still hard, firm, but he was fair.
And
he was fair, and we respected that.
And players always say that about Nick,
hard,
too.
Hard, firm, coming up at 4:30.
Yeah.
That's right, and 5:50.
And the other thing is, like, when you ask players what they like about Nick,
mm-hmm.
one of the first things they say is he holds us accountable.
Yep.
He holds us accountable. He holds us. Now he's a good guy. Now he likes mm-hmm. the same music. Not all that stuff. So we're going to ask you, 215-592-9494, are you ready to declare yourself a Nick guy? And the last thing I'll say about declaring yourself a Nick guy, it means you can't just jump off the boat if something goes wrong.
Well, hold on.
I'm serious.
He's looking for the escape hatch.
Well, I'm saying,
always.
It doesn't mean you can't be critical if he does something you don't like, but if you're a Nick guy, it means you're a Nick guy. You're there. You're with him.
Yes.
You know? Jack Fritz.
Yes.
Now, I know I had a journey with Nick. I thought he was doofus. You know, I thought it was never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this year was going to go off the rails, and it didn't. That's why I'm a Nick guy. You feel like you have come to our side. Are you a Nick guy?
No, but that doesn't mean he hasn't grown on me. I'm growing into a Nick guy. I'm not anti-Nick.
You're not, but you're not a Nick guy.
Because I'm gonna jump off if things aren't going well here. Because I do think.
So I think that's the difference, by the way, between being a Nick guy and it grew on you a little.
I'm still a Nick skeptic. I'm not anti-Nick. I'm not calling for his job. Even if they lose on Sunday, I don't think I'll be calling for his job. But I still think a lot of this is talent dependent. I do. I appreciate the notes. I appreciate all that stuff. But I don't think he can do what Sean McVay did this year. I don't think he can do what some of these X's and O's guys do of get the most out of. He's getting a lot out of a very, very, very talented team. And that's great. But I still can't do this whole, well, now he's one of the best coaches in the sport kind of thing.
Well, he is.
Ish.
You mean ish?
He's ish.
He's one of the best coaches. There's no way that there's five coaches better than Nick Sirianni in football.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has to be top five,
yes,
right?
Yes, easily.
Andy Reid, McVay, Tomlin, right?
No.
Get Tomlin the bleep out of here.
Get Tomlin out of here.
Not anymore.
Nope.
Years.
Right. Nope.
Harbaugh.
Can't live off his resume. Harbaugh's still good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Both Harbaughs?
Both Harbaughs?
You know what? Yeah. Well, listen, Jim Harbaugh is good, too, but it's only been 1 year. But he's damn sure a good coach.
Right, yeah.
He's damn sure a good coach. We know what he did in San Francisco, and look what he did his first year with the Chargers. I would go Sean McDermott's a good coach.
Yep.
Still putting Peyton in there? Sean Payton?
Sean Payton's a good coach. He's a good coach. Look what he did in his first year. I mean, second year
with the Broncos.
With the Broncos with a rookie quarterback coach. So, yeah, again, I think Sean Payton's a good coach.
He's in the Shanahan mix.
But I'd put
he's in that mix. Yeah, well, Shanahan's a good coach.
I'd put Sirianni ahead of McDermott at this point. I would.
That's fair, yeah.
You know, there's been enough questions. You know, McVay, I don't think there's any questions. Andy, there's no questions.
Right.
There's been questions about McDermott.
Yes.
McDermott was on the verge of getting fired.
The
same way Nick was.
Yep.
The same way Nick was. And I don't hear people talking about Sean McDermott the way that they talk about Nick Sirianni.
I agree.
All right. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to officially declare yourself a Nick guy?
What's our guy in Detroit? Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's a good coach, right? You
good
believe
coach.
That?
Yes.
Yeah, again, I'll see without Ben Johnson.
What? Why is it that you need to see without? All these coaches need guys, man. What are you talking about?
Because I think it matters. I believe in Dan Campbell, but to put him in elite categories NFL head coach.
Forget about elite. Like, because
he's been put in that category.
He hasn't won a title yet, so I don't think he's in that title with the guys that won a title. Like, McVay has gone to two Super Bowls with two different quarterbacks
totally
and won a Super Bowl.
I think Nick and Dan Campbell should be viewed in the same light.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair. That's
I think
fair.
That's fair.
So
that's fair. I'm just curious to see what he looks like without Ben Johnson. Again, growing on Nick, but I'm not, you know, 10 toes jumping on the deep end, cannonball.
I think the difference between a Nick guy and not a Nick guy is a Nick guy will be there if things get a little rough. And I think what's going on with a lot of people is, and I think you mentioned this off the show, is that people aren't hearing much about him. So they're like, yeah, he's fine.
Right.
But that is different than being a Nick guy. It's different than truly believing he makes a difference with the Philadelphia Eagles. And if the players are winning and they are telling you that he makes a difference, to me, far be it from me to say that they're wrong. 215-592-9494. Corey of Columbus. Corey, you a Nick guy?
Man, I've been a Nick guy since he got here, even when he was talking goofy on the press conference. You know, this show right here,
Well, I wasn't a Nick guy then. He had to grow on me at some point.
Yeah, I actually remember you before you even coached the game being like, this ain't going to work.
This ain't going to work.
Yeah. Mike said, Corey, he ain't asked Ike. All right, look. Y'all keep hearing. And OG made a good point yesterday. This show is a great show. Y'all get up here, and y'all got people thinking that's really, you know, Otis is thinking they David Ruffins. Y'all got people calling in here thinking, you know, they really beyond, they Michelle Williams, but they thinking they Beyonce. Like, come on, y'all. Y'all got to appreciate the heavy hitters that call the show. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday, Spike. Hey, yo, ESP was cooking you yesterday, you know.
He wasn't.
He had you in the grill.
He wasn't.
He absolutely was not.
He was not. It wasn't even what I was talking about. And he specifically said, Corey, I'm not talking about the way that you think. And why does everybody think he's cooking me?
Hey, because I know how you think. See, you might think I might not know, but I know. I watch you like a hawk, boy. Everything. I'm listening. I'm watching. Look, first of all, let's pump the brakes. Yesterday, y'all was all, like Sean McVay just way better than Sirianni. I don't know if that's true. First of all, in the Super Bowl he won, he went up against who? Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor? He wasn't going up against Andy and Mahomes or Belichick and Tom Brady? And time out.
Bro, you act like what
Joe Burrow's probably the best quarterback in the league.
No, he not. Stop. The best quarterback in the league is a 3-time Super Bowl champ. The MVP. That's probably going to stop playing. Second of all, let me keep going. Y'all sit up here talking about, he got a Super Bowl. Doug had a Super Bowl.
But he's got two appearances and a Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl before Andy Reid, yes or no?
Don't make me into not a Nick guy by bringing up Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Let me get on that Super Bowl thing. Y'all bringing up the roster. This dude Sean McVay won a Super Bowl with four, maybe five Hall of Famers. Now Nick got a good team, right? He ain't had no five. He had
sure he does.
Four bona fide Hall of Aaron Donald first ballot. Paul Miller first ballot. Jalen Ramsey going to the Hall of Fame. Andrew Whitworth going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't know about Whitworth, but you're good with the other three.
Who? Oh, maybe like Lane Johnson.
Well, hold on. Jalen's a lock Hall of Famer. Saquon's a lock Hall of Famer. AJ Brown's a lock Hall of Famer.
Saquon wasn't no lock for the Hall of Fame until he came to Nick.
They got Michael Jordan, Corey.
Hold on now. I'm talking about, we don't know that shit. I'm talking about when they was on that Super Bowl team that season, and not Von Miller, Aaron, Donald, them, they was going to the Hall of Fame. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Like, it's just a big difference. Nick,
and you might can throw Matthew Stafford in there. You may be able to throw Stafford in there.
Exactly. And Cooper Kupp, maybe. He ain't no scrub now.
Nope.
Don't act like he a triple crown. With a,
yeah,
like,
but he, but hold on. We're Nick guys. You're going so hard the other way.
It's like,
because
what? It's not like Nick doesn't have a talented roster, too.
Nah, he do. But by yesterday, it's not you, Ike. It's them other two. They were sitting up here. They were sitting up here acting like if you, like when you sit up here and be like, do you like Coke or Pepsi? And somebody, like Pepsi.
All I said, I think Sean McVay is probably the second best coach in the NFL, and I don't think Nick is.
That's a little bit. That's an overstatement.
No,
who's the second best coach in the NFL?
Yeah, if Andy Reid's number one, who's number two, Corey?
I would put Kyle Shanahan over Sean McVay.
No. Right, now we're cooking.
That's wrong.
Let Corey cook.
How is that wrong?
What has Kyle Shanahan done?
Kyle Shanahan
guy? I love Shanahan.
What has Kyle Shanahan done? Corey, what has Kyle Shanahan done as a head coach that Sean McVay hasn't?
They go up against each other. What's the record? They in the
That's,
I don't know what the record is.
That's not how you judge it.
I don't know what the record is.
So head-to-head don't matter. So, let me get this straight. Head-to-head don't matter?
No, it does.
They've both been to two Super Bowls.
We're looking at the overall record, though.
Sean McVay's 1-1, and Kyle Shanahan hasn't. And by the way, Kyle, you want to talk about talent? Because it's not like Kyle Shanahan's teams haven't been talented.
And some people say Kyle Shanahan blew two Super Bowls. Three, if you count the Atlanta Super Bowl.
But you got to give him credit for getting Brock Purdy, who's ass, in to being in a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, McVay had Stafford.
That's true.
Well,
yes.
McVay also created Jared Goff.
He's been good in Detroit,
In another place where you said the head coach isn't even going to be able to survive without the offensive coordinator.
You're being dramatic, classic WIP. I said I had questions.
who created Brock Purdy?
Shanahan, I know.
Shanahan. I think Shanahan's a great coach, too. He's not Sean McVay.
Let's pump the brakes. We got Andy. We got this the thing. And I'm going to end it with this. It's just like the quarterback. You got Mahomes and Reed. They at the top. Everybody else battling for second, third in that pool. Stop putting them with these other dudes. They the cream of the crop. It's like the afternoon show is at the top. The midday, John Johnson and all them, they fighting for that spot.
You didn't put the morning show on there. Yep.
Yeah.
They in the third tier. Morning show.
What about Go Birds? You call them too?
Go Birds. That's elite though. They.
Yeah. Well, no. It's AAA. I know.
They 1B, baby. That's 1B right there.
All right.
I'll holler at y'all.
All right, Corey. Corey ruining the show at the top.
Yeah, it is.
You guys actually weren't positive enough on
that. Are you ready to declare yourself a Nick guy? 215-592-9494. Sean and Maple Shade. You're on WIP. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love you. First time caller.
Thank you, Sean.
Appreciate it, brother.
So, Spike, I need to talk to you about something you specifically said was emotional intelligence you think Nick has?
Yes.
I mean, controlling your emotions is what I think emotional intelligence is.
That's not
manager talk?
Yeah, here we go. Because I knew Jack was going to make fun of me. From a leadership standpoint, what Nick is like, you have to understand that every player needs something different from you and what your job is to bring out the best out of them. That's what emotional intelligence is. And that is not X's and O's. It's not knowing when to call a timeout. It's about how to get what is best out of. And those are things that are very hard to teach. You have to be humble. You have to be aware of who you are. You have to be aware of what you're not good at. And Nick has all of those things. So from an emotional intelligence standpoint, as a leader, I think he is elite. I think that is an elite skill. And that is something that is very hard to achieve with just like hard work and intelligence. It's a different thing.
I can agree. He is definitely a player's coach. I'd say most people could say that, even though I'm not a Sirianni guy. But it's the things where, you know, for a while in the season, I'm like, okay, no shenanigans, nothing crazy is happening. And then this thing pops up with Zach Ertz. And the thing, it's those distractions where I don't want that from my head coach.
Yeah, he's not perfect. That's what I'm saying. But no head coach is. And you think Andy Reid's an elite head coach, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So for 14 years, we complained about Andy's bad clock management, his commitment over the top commitment to throwing the ball. We complained about all those things, and we recognize that though he's not perfect, he's still elite at what he does. And my point is not that Nick Sirianni's perfect, because he's not. He's gonna screw up again. Mm-hmm. But my point is that the positives outweigh the negatives. That doesn't mean we can't complain about those things, but if you're going to tell me that because three times a year you're going to disagree with his decision to go to forward on fourth down, that is more important than the fact that every player in that locker room is like, I would die for that guy. And he turned the team around not only from 2023 to 2024, but twice during 2024, it felt like the wheels were coming off. Even, I could say three times.
I was going to say three times,
Post-Tampa game, post-Cleveland game, he created that, but whatever.
Yep.
And then
the Jags game.
And then the Jags game. Oh, and then I'll add the A.J. Jalen thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was another opportunity.
Yep.
That not only did the team... Not only did the wheels not fall off, they showed up the following Sunday and wanted to prove to everyone that it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And that happens because of the guy in charge. It doesn't happen because of talent. It doesn't happen because of scheme. It happens because of Nick Sirianni.
Then that's the thing about when we decided to give him credit, because, you know, this whole season we got all this information of, oh, yeah, he's taking a step back from the play calling, and we want to give him this credit of, yeah, he's got the team going because he's got the guys behind him, which he does.
But he's the CEO coach now, right? He's the CEO coach.
Yes, exactly, right. But then you got, you know, Kellen Moore, who I think he's doing an okay job. I credit, you know, a lot of the success is our defense being number one with Vic Fangio, which was huge. And then you add in a piece like Saquon, which is a game changer. There's some games we would not have won if we didn't have Saquon.
Oh, sure.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I think, honestly, given and thank you for the call, Sean. It's hard for me to judge Kellen Moore, to be quite honest with you, because of Jalen.
Because we run the ball so much.
Yeah, it's really, like, the reason I put Kellen Moore's performance into context is because I just look at, he's been a creative pass caller in previous stops. He's had top five offenses in previous stops. He's had quarterbacks that threw for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns in previous stops.
Yeah.
So if we get here and all they're doing is running the ball and throwing it 18 times a game, to me that says it's more of a compliment about Kellen Moore that he's not forcing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to give him a ton of credit for that, but it's hard for me to judge him completely.
It's funny. Listen, so you sit there and talk about Kellen Moore and that situation and that dynamic of sort of adjusting and not running an offense that he was accustomed to. Quite frankly, Mike McCarthy tried to say that's the reason why they got rid of Kellen Moore, because he wanted to throw the ball too much.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't because of running.
Right.
So coming here and doing what we're doing now is obviously an adjustment that had to be made to fit Jalen and what he does well. I wonder if that pushes Kellen out.
that he doesn't want to be here.
In other words, he feels restricted.
Yeah, he can't show what he wants
like,
to
I
do.
Wonder, I mean, like, that may get him to want to take that job in Dallas.
And it's another thing I'll give Nick Sirianni credit for, because you not only have to manage the egos and the personalities of your players, you have to do that with your coordinators
coaches,
as well.
Yeah. Coaches, you don't know that very well either.
Right.
He had to get to know them this offseason.
And you have to call Kellen Moore in and say, hey, I just talked to the offensive line. We all think we should run the ball 60 times a game. So, all right.
Yeah, we're going to dial back all that YZ banana, yep. X2.
So coming up in...
Just made up a play.
YZ banana. Coming up in an hour, LeSean McCoy joins us. Shady joins
us
right at 3:30. We have Flyers and 50 coming up at 3. And your call is, are you ready to declare yourself an official Nick guy? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Shady joining us in about an hour. Flyers and 50 with Broads at 3. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. All right, Ike, it's time to guess the Twitter poll results.
All right, what we got?
Which more describes how you currently feel about Nick Sirianni? I'm a Nick guy or I'm a Nick skeptic?
This could be close. So I'm going to say majority says I'm a Nick guy. Let's go 64%.
So I'm a Nick guy is at 74%.
Ooh, higher than I thought.
Wow.
I do wonder, though, because, you know, not everybody that votes is listening to the show. I do wonder
if that's not possible.
I do wonder if I said to them, now, being a Nick guy means you can't hop off if they lose on Sunday. You know, unless he runs out in the field naked and, you know.
And that's where you lose me.
Yeah, that's where I lose you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing on Nick.
Yeah. It's more
Nick's
like.
Nick's growing on you.
Yeah. It's sure. More like, yep. Are you a Nick guy?
You're not growing on Nick.
Well, maybe. Well, you don't know that.
Yeah, well,
have you talked to Nick recently?
I have not talked to Nick recently.
I haven't played a lot of his drops. We've gotten over the first press conference.
Yes.
Yeah.
He probably is happy that you stopped playing a lot of his drops.
He's not giving me much, frankly.
You know, purposely.
Could you put another poll out and ask the same question, but the two options are, I'm a Nick guy or he's growing on me?
Okay.
All right, I just want to see if it comes up with a different, and just ignore the responses and say, oh, you didn't get the response you won in the first Twitter poll. You guys suck.
Oh, the narrative didn't fit your narrative,
yeah.
Huh?
Nepo baby. Blah, blah, blah.
I got your job.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Are you declaring yourself a Nick guy? Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Pump the brakes on this Nick is great nonsense. Can we please? Mm-hmm. All right. Let me bring some sanity back to the afternoon show. Guys, Nick's James Franklin, okay? He gets carried by...
Wow.
Jack knows what I'm talking about.
It's not a bad comp.
At least Franklin brings in the players. Dude, Nick is driving the car that Howie built, okay? He has always had one of the top lines, offensive lines in the NFL. He's got Kelsey and Lane Johnson, who are huge future Hall of Famers. He has A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Hurts, Saquad, the inhuman Ronner Barkley. The defense was run, and they had the third most sacks that season that they went to the Super Bowl. So, like, yeah, Fletcher Cox, B.G., Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Guantanamo Bay. Guys.
So wait a minute. Before this year, you were talking about how talented the defense was?
Yeah. This year, he's got two first-team All-Pros and four second-team All-Pros, okay? So before we start throwing all the roses, and Nick is great. He also has one of the leading minds as a defensive coordinator that many coaches have designed their defenses off of, running the defense. He has.
Let me interrupt you for a second here, Chris. You would say last couple of years the Kansas City Chiefs were carried by their defense, right? Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is Andy Reid calling the defense?
No, Andy Reid's not calling.
And he's got a pretty elite defensive coordinator, doesn't he?
The difference there, Spike, was
and he's got a guy. He's got an elite defensive coordinator. He's got a quarterback who people are already arguing is going to challenge Tom Brady for the best quarterback of all time. And no one says to me that Andy Reid is not a great coach because he happens to have the second best quarterback of all time, potentially an elite defensive coordinator, an elite defense that he has nothing to do with.
Because he doesn't do anything with the defense. He never has. He always gives that to his defensive coordinators.
Sure.
The difference there, but listen, the difference with Andy there is Andy won a Super Bowl with, other than Pat Mahomes, you tell me what absolute weapon of a stud that they had.
Yes, and they didn't have a good offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was all manufactured by Pat Mahomes and by Andy because Andy runs the offense. Andy coached them well enough to take scraps.
I think I just got you there.
Together with Pat Mahomes to win a Super Bowl.
I'm sorry?
He took scraps and put it together with Pat Mahomes.
With scraps. With debatably the best quarterback. Hold on. We just agreed he has nothing to do with the defense, and we just agreed that he potentially has the greatest quarterback of all time who's out there making plays. So in the Super Bowl, when the defense played great and Patrick Mahomes made a few plays at the end of the game to win the game, I think Andy's the best coach in the NFL, but what are we crediting Andy with there? My point being, no coach in the NFL is winning 14, 15 games without a ton of talent. They're just not.
But here's the difference between those two.
And Nick Sirianni Nick Sirianni went to a Super Bowl with, I don't want to do this, with Jalen Hurts as his quarterback, who we're all even debating how good he is at this point. So I think there are a lot of things that you can look, you know, in the past and say that Sirianni did something with players that another coach may have not have done that with.
Sirianni doesn't have any major effect on any side of the ball. We're the offense in Kansas City, so you're trying to compare two people that are not the same.
Well, here's where you're wrong, Chris. Here's where you're wrong, because you're trying to minimize what Sirianni does throughout the week to help put together the offensive game plan to put guys in the right position. What do you think Nick Sirianni does when they're having offensive meetings?
I think he's part of the conversation, Ike, but like we saw last year, when he doesn't have strong coordinators to carry him, that's where they struggle. And maybe that's where, when troubles fall, he's not able to necessarily navigate himself out of. I hope. Here's what I hope, guys. First of all, I fully expect them to win on Sunday. I am not nervous. Anybody that is, go buy yourself a dog. They're going to win. And when he can win another AFC title and get and goes to the NFC Championship game and he can win another NFC Championship, then I'll give him his credit. Right now, today, after just going into this game against the Rams, I'm not there yet. Now, you win me another NFC title and you bring me two NFC titles, I don't even need a Super Bowl, although I want the Super Bowl. Then I'll throw the flowers at your feet. Not until then. I'm still not there. Your original poll, I'm still skeptical. That's where I'm at.
All right.
Okay. All right, Chris.
Some people you're not going to convince, right? Like, so they move the goalposts, right? Because if you had told Chris or anyone else at the time of the hiring that this guy was going to take you to a Super Bowl, take you to the playoffs four straight years, right? Win as many games as he's won over the 4 years that he's been here. 14 games twice.
Third best winning percentage in NFL history, right, in the regular season.
We would have taken that in a heartbeat when he was hired, because we didn't think he was going to last a year here when you heard the press conference, his first press conference.
No.
So if I'd have told you this is where he would be after year four, you would have gladly taken that. Gladly taken, even with some of his missteps with the back and forth with the fans and all that type of stuff, he still has managed to win 70-plus percent of the games he's coached since he's been here, man. That's a lot of wins.
And really, truth being, I do understand that if he's not in charge of offense or defense, the fact that you have to have two really good coordinators in there does put, like, okay, I concede.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but I concede. Like, maybe if you don't have a good offensive coordinator and Nick can't do it, but then he has to be elite at the other stuff, which he seems like he is.
Yes.
And it's not just me, and it's not just Ike. It's the fact that I read and talk to player after player, and hear player after player be like, you know, we play for this guy. You know, this guy holds us accountable. This guy is showing us, you know, this sort of tape every single week that makes us think about this or that. Even the, I know we give Fangio credit for the defense, but the first person I heard saying we're missing tackles all over the place was Nick.
Yeah.
It was Nick Sirianni saying we missed 18 tackles the other day, you know, going into the bye week and came out a different defense. So I'm not saying that that's Nick, but it's Nick's decision to throw pads on during practice and toughen up the team. Those are all Nick's decisions.
We've seen plenty of coaches that have talent on their roster and can't win with it. Like, we've seen that. Let's not act like just because you have talent, it's a guarantee you're going to win. It may be expected of you, but it doesn't mean every coach reaches that expectation with the talent that they have around them. And it's something to being able to coach talent and keep guys happy and keep everybody locked in for the same goal. That's not easy. We've seen guys. Chip had talent when he was here.
No, of course.
Chip Kelly had talent when he was here.
He got rid of him.
But he was, exactly.
Yeah.
Because he can't relate to players, because he can't connect with players. When we used to hear stories about Chip walking past players in the hallways without even speaking to them. But I'll never forget that with Brandon Boykins. Huh. And Chip wound up trading him after that. Like, so, like, and then don't get me started on faculty and personnel. How you treated people around the building.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, they were all so relieved when Chip
was gone. Right, you know what I'm saying? So, but that all matters when you talk about the environment and the culture. You don't hear that about Nick Sirianni. Everybody down there loves Nick Sirianni. He's not a tyrant running through the NovaCare like he's a maniac. And where people are like, oh, this dude doesn't know what he's doing, man. This dude is an egomaniac.
Jack, let me ask you this. And I promise I'm not doing this to jab you. Because I think it's an interesting question.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, because we perceive the manager of the baseball team as most managers of baseball teams. It's less about strategy and more about getting the most out of your players.
Oh, it's 162 games. You got to manage the clubhouse.
Who do you think does a better job of managing their clubhouse / locker room, Nick Sirianni or Topper?
I'd say Nick.
Yeah, and that's a
shocker.
Well, yeah. Because I think Thompson he hasn't had the AJ Brown situation with Jalen. He hasn't really had to manage any blow-ups.
No, he lets the players do what they want to do.
And a bunch of team guys.
Just said he lets them figure it out.
Team guys who won't change positions.
Yeah,
well, listen. Why would you have to change positions?
We got only the best defensive left fielder in baseball, and we're going to have him play. Or best defensive right fielder in baseball, we're going to have him play left field because the guy won't change.
Yeah, well, listen. Nick's better in right. Nick's better in right.
Yeah.
Who's better at their job, Jalen or Nick?
I think Nick. I mean,
who's better at their job, Jalen or Nick? Well, yeah. I'd say Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to.
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen's good at his job, but you're asking who's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Nick.
Good answers.
Yeah.
totally agree.
Yeah, shocker.
Would we have said that 4 months ago?
No.
Prior to the season. Because we've had this question before.
Heading into the season, people were way more in on Jalen than Nick.
Right.
Yes, yes.
What would we ask? If things don't go well,
who's more likely to
be to blame? Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of it was Nick.
Yes. 215-592-9494. Dustin in the Northeast. You're on WIP. What's up, Dustin?
Spike, how are you, fellas?
What's up? Say hi to Fritz, too. Say hi to Fritz.
Fitzy baby, how you doing back there, brother?
Missed you, Dustin. Missed you, Dustin.
Yeah, did you get the package? I sent you a little welcome back gift.
Ah.
Whoa, hold on. What was it?
It's a customized squeegee to make sure that the glass is clean in between you, Ike, and Spike.
Oh, wow. I knew you were going to set me up for something.
I did not see that coming.
Hawk 2 over there. Yeah. Hawk 2 with Fritz.
I love that name.
Hey, Fritz, in all honesty, dude, congratulations. We're glad to have you back, brother.
But, thank you.
You a Nick guy, Dustin, or not a Nick guy?
Man, how can you not be a Nick guy? He's got the second most wins at the start of a four-year career of a head coach. All the dude does is win. He gets his players to play for him, and he figures out ways to win ball games. We all bitched and complained last year because we didn't have a defense coordinator. We didn't have an offensive coordinator. But our head coach is doing nothing but winning games. Other than the last six last year, don't get me wrong, that was horrible. But how can you not like somebody that gets people to play for him the way he gets these guys to play for him?
His ability to manage how the offseason went with the questioning of him, the perception or the definite reality of taking away, publicly taking away responsibility for him, him managing that, and then him managing the blow-ups that happened this year to a team that is saying, like, to, you know, I read the thing from Rick Lovato about how together the team is. Brandon says that every BG show, and I can tell when Brandon's just saying something and not saying something. You can sort of see it in his eyes that he really believes that this team plays for each other. That all has to be attributed to Nick. It just the players deserve credit. They're the ones doing it, but that's a leadership thing. You know, that's the thing at the and losing two locker room leaders like they lost two vets in Kelce and Fletcher Cox and just giving I think the fact that a player like Jordan Mailata feels confident enough and empowered enough to become one of those guys speaks to the culture that's there, and that goes back to Nick as well.
I couldn't agree with you more, Spike. When he had his Britney Spears moment midway through the season and had the midlife crisis and he's yelling at fans, dude, I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit on the edge of my seat with him. But at the same time, it's every week in and week out, these guys, no matter what's being talked about. I mean, think about this. How many times have we talked about the stupid book that dude's reading on the sideline? I didn't like that. But he's letting these players be the way they are. Off the field, on the field as well. And you're seeing it. You're seeing them win as much as they do. I don't know how you can even think about, all right, well, if we get bounced in the playoffs this year, think about replacing him. Like, that's just a stupid comment. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, and
we're one game away from not having to deal with that.
Yeah, well, I don't care. They lose. There's gonna no matter when they lose, unless it's in the Super Bowl. I think there will be people that bring up Nick.
Yeah.
Now,
we're not to fire him though, right?
If they lose to Detroit
in the title game, you think?
I think so. I think it's possible. I think people.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's possible. Now, I don't think he'll be the headline.
Sure.
I think
unless he is the headline coming out of the story.
Like I said, unless he makes himself the headline.
Right.
But he's done a pretty good job of not doing that for a while now.
Yep.
Hit the wrong button.
And he's comfortable with it.
Yep. Reese in North Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Reese?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Reese?
What up, Reese?
Hey, Reese.
I can't complain, man. Jack, actually, y'all my favorite trio, man.
Yeah. I missed you, buddy.
I can't never get in on Monday unless I call early.
Oh, that's true.
I'll be blinging, hotline blinging. But just like I said last week, this week it's going to be an easy game. You got the Rams is coming from the West Coast on a roll on a short week. Easy money. The way our defense playing, and I've seen a stat today that said that Nick Sirianni, the team's, since he's been here, our home record, the defense only give up 8 points a game. So this defense
really?
Is going to play like
that. Can't.
Yep, I've seen that.
Eight?
I said
that
at
can't
home,
be right.
At home. Nah. At home. No, at home.
Nah.
Because if you look at when we beat the Giants a couple years ago, Daniel Jones scored like 7.
Oh, you mean in the playoffs?
At home, in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Well, they've only played one home
three.
Three games. Oh, right. Yeah, there's
Sunday
and then 2 and 22. Right, yeah.
Come on, fellas. Stay with me.
So we're trying to. We're trying to keep up with you.
Sorry. Yep.
But we going now to Nick Sirianni. I do not like him a little bit. A little bit. And it's crazy because I don't like the other guy. I'm not going to say his name. So people would think I like Nick, but I don't like him at all. If we don't win a Super Bowl, he can't come back.
So, okay. So
what?
Okay. So, Reese, let me ask you this, and I'll bring up the other guy's name. You think Jalen's not good, and you think Nick's not good. How in the world are they 14-3 and home favorites in the division round of the playoffs?
Do you
see what I'm saying?
They got four All-Pro/Pro Bowl on the one line. They got two stud receivers. The whole offense is just like, I mean, any, many, mighty, mo, pick a guy to throw it to. And then the defense is young. We got the number one defense in the league. I'm not saying he's terrible, but he's not elite. He's not a top five.
Who are you more in on, Reese, Jalen or Nick?
Oh, I'd rather shoot myself, kid.
Oh, jeez.
Nick. I'm going to go Nick.
Okay.
I'm going to go Nick for sure. Barry. and I'm going to give him 51%.
All right, Reese. Thank you for the call.
Enjoy the game Sunday, Reese.
So Reese thinks Jalen Hurts stinks. Nick Sirianni stinks.
Yeah, where am I supposed to go with that?
We're 14-3.
Yes.
We just won a playoff game by double digits.
And what did you say? If they don't win the Super Bowl?
Nick's gone.
Yeah,
Nick's
got
to go.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. I can't.
High standards.
Yes.
Well, it's not used to be like Reese.
Unrealistic standards is what I would call them.
Yeah. He makes you seem like a Nick guy.
He makes me seem like the biggest Eagles fan in the world.
Yeah. I just can't even imagine watching the game if you're Reese and cheering. Like, he must be surprised every time they win.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing during the game?
It's tough. I'll agree. I mean, as someone who's going through this,
you at least think Nick is pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it's like Reese is like Mad Mike, but he's being honest.
Yeah, he's not doing a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't think Mad Mike is being honest?
Yeah, but some of
you
it's honest.
You think Mad Mike enjoys the Eagles winning?
I think Mad Mike is more of an Eagles fan than he tries to play on the show.
Yeah.
Reese, I think, is actually just being Reese.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mad Mike's doing a bit.
Yeah, Reese will tell you he's an Eagles fan. He just doesn't like Jalen or Nick.
Yeah.
Right.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
No, that would be hard. To be an Eagles fan when you don't like the quarterback or the damn head coach, man.
Yeah.
The two guys that are most responsible.
For everything.
Yes.
Yeah. So funny. I love Reese.
I'm a defensive guy. You just root for the defense.
Yep. Offense gets up there. So I hope they don't screw it up.
Yeah, they'll screw this up. Just give it to Saquon.
Are you a Nick guy or are you just sort of like, are you just waiting? Are you just waiting to blame him? 215-592-9494. We have our guy, Broods, coming up next. Flyers and 50. We are the official Flyer show in Philadelphia. Make sure we have some good hip-hop beats for Broods to talk over, Jack, in there. Get him some underground stuff, because that's what Broads likes.
Yep.
And then Shady will join us at 3:30. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.